Tonight we're going to get into the Shaila of Onas Gevarim, which is the same siman in Shulchan Aruch, but they're different. We'll try to be mevar the difference between them. The case Rav Spitz has is Mishpatei HaTorah, is the one that I sent on the email. Reuven has a sign up that he's selling his house. Now Shimon lives nearby. He doesn't know Reuven. Reuven doesn't know him, and he also wants to sell his house, but he's not sure how much he can get for it. So he figures he'll go into Reuven's house. Reuven is selling it for $150,000. And he'll go to Reuven's house and look it over and see, it's the same model as his house, and compare his house to Reuven's house. And then he'll know how much to put his on the market for. So is that mutter or not? But that's the shaila. Can he...
Without telling him,
right. Now this is not Geneva's Das here. Just to start, it's not Geneva's Das because he's not making Reuven do anything. He's not getting Reuven to sell him the house. Like the case we spoke about the other week was, I tell Reuven I have three offers for $130,000, and you try to get him to pay you $140,000. That's Geneva's Das. You're stealing his heart. You're getting him to do something that he wouldn't do if you hadn't lied to him. You're not making Reuven do anything here. You're just maybe wasting his time, but you're not stealing his heart. You're not getting him to sell. He's not selling or buying. He says at the end, I think it's a mistake, he says at the end that if you would, suppose you're interested in buying the house from Reuven, and you send in a lot of this happens sometimes maybe, you send in some false quote-unquote buyers, your cousins and your friends, and you walk in the way and say, you're asking $150 for that, it's not worth $120, and you're selling in your decoys, right? So he says that would be on us devarin, but I think that's more Geneva's Das. That's Geneva's Das, I think. The poskim seem to confuse it to put them together, but I think that would be Geneva's Das, because there you're sending in your decoys and you're getting Reuven to lower the price through your subterfuge. First see what the Gemara says about Anos Devarim, and then we'll see the halachas as they apply to Choshen Mishpat. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia says like this: just like there's ona by buying and selling, what we learned about the first four shiurim, that you can't sell, you can't overcharge if you're buying, you can't underpay, you can't overcharge if you're selling, you can't underpay if you're buying. If it's more than a sixth, we said, the Chacham said, it's batel lemekach. If it's exactly a sixth, the difference goes back. Less than a sixth, we assume is mechila. Just like there's an isra of ona in buying and selling, kach ona bidvarim, there's also an ona with words. How is there ona with words? So the Mishnah has two sets of cases. First, it says the case which is very nogeya, our case. Lo yomar lo b'kama chefet zeh. Don't say, how much does this item cost? V'hu eina rotz likach, and you don't really want to buy it. Right? We'll have to see why that's ona d'varim. But don't say, how much does this thing cost? And you're not, and this is probably what we've heard. We've probably all heard this thing. You can't go to the store and say, ask him what the cost if you're not interested in buying it. Right? That's the Mishnah. We'll see exactly what the Gedarim are. Im haya baal tshuva. Someone had done an Aveira and then they did tshuva. Lo yamir, right? He was a thief and he got caught and now did his time in jail and now he's out of jail. Lo yamir l'zchor masecha rishon. Don't say, hey, I remember, I just read something in the paper. They did the same thing you did. Right? That's Onas Devarim. In Huben Gerim, if he's a ger, but Yom Lezachar Masecha, Masev Esecha, but you have a German soldier whose grandson became a ger, don't ask him, what was your grandfather doing in the war? My grandfather was flying for the Allies. What was your grandfather doing? Right, that's the Mishnah. Now, what do these things have to do with each other? Right, the last two seem to be saying, don't say something, Onas Devarim, don't say something to a person which will hurt his feelings, which will make him feel bad, which will humiliate him. Right, don't say, right, how does he feel when he asked me what my grandfather was doing in the army in World War II? Because I know he knows that he was a Nazi and he's trying to make me feel bad. Right? Right, so that's the last half of it, right? Don't say something to someone that's going to make him feel bad. So what's the first part of the Mishnah talking about? Like, don't ask him how much does it cost when you're not interested in buying? How are you making him feel bad there? Pasha is what Josh is saying. pashas, what you're making him feel bad is because when you came in and you asked me how much this thing costs, I said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I finally got a buyer for this thing sitting here for a year. I thought no one would ever buy it, and he's finally asking me what it costs. And then I see, yeah, I was never interested in it anyway. I just wanted to, I was just curious. I just wanted, I had nothing else to do. Right? You make me feel bad. I thought I had a sale. I thought I was getting rid of this thing I had all the time. That would be the only way I would see to compare the two. Right? My hopes are being dashed. You are fooling me. You are hurting me by thinking that I have a buyer here and then dashing my hopes. That's what it seems like. There's two main issues that we have to discuss. The first is there any kavana involved in the yisur? Do I have to be trying to hurt you to be over the yisur, or is it if it's just innocent and I made you feel bad I did the yisur? Even in the second case, suppose I don't know who your grandfather is and I say, you know, what was your grandfather doing in the war? Right? So that's number one. Do you mean to have intention to be over Lo Sono? And the second thing is, how about the Mekabel? Does he have to know what happened to be over Lo Sono? Like, you put the thing behind his head and he doesn't see it. Yeah, if that would be Lo Sono, are you over Lo Sono?
He doesn't feel bad, so.
He doesn't feel bad, right? He doesn't know that everyone's laughing at him. Right? Were you over Lo Sono? Or you go to the store and you ask him how much the thing costs and he doesn't realize that you weren't interested in it at all. Are you over Lo Sono then? Right. He has no way of knowing that you were never interested. He'll think that, oh, you know, and he figures that it must, he can't afford that. This is too good for him, right? He doesn't realize that he was not interested at all. So that's the two things we have to keep in mind now. Is there an issue? Do I have to intend to hurt that other person, to hurt his feelings? Assuming that that's shot in how much this thing costs. And number two, does he have to realize that I hurt his feelings? Right, those are the two things that, and does he have to realize that do his feelings have to be hurt? I mean, that's what I mean. Number one is, do I have to intend to hurt his feelings to be over the yisur? Number two, do his feelings have to really have been hurt for me to be over the yisur? Does he have to realize that, hey, that guy was never interested in buying the house at all? If I'm smart enough and I do it in a way that he'll never know, is it much for me to go into the house and he'll never know that I wasn't interested in buying the house? Is that the shiloh? The shiloh we started with. I want to find out a price for my house. Can I do it in a way where he'll never know that there was that I wasn't interested? Right. That's the shiloh. Just to see some of the, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, how do we know there's an iser? Lo sono ish es amiso. There's two psukim. The second pasuk says, "Lo sono ish es amiso, v'yareisim el kachli tefir Hashem kin yeshem lokeichem." The Gemara says, "How do you know it's onos devar?" Maybe it means don't cheat him when you're making a price. So he says, "We have that pasuk we learned about the first year." The chisim kuremim kar lamisecha kana miyad amisecha lo sono ish es achish. There it says you shouldn't al sono ish es achish. There it says don't cheat him monetarily. So the second pasuk has to be talking three psukim later. That pasuk has to be talking about onos devarim. Right, then the Braisa continues with the same cases of the Mishnah, continues with some other cases. If some donkey drivers come to you and ask you, do you have grain to sell me, and you don't say go over there to the gas station, knowing that the gas station doesn't have any grain, because they're also, you make the gas station feel bad, you make the donkey driver feel like taken advantage of. That's also Aser. And then Rayudam says the same case of our Mishnah, Lechora, Afla Yitla Einov Al Mikach, don't put your eyes on a merchandise, b'shashen adam, when you don't have the money to pay for it. Right? Gemar Pesachim has three things. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi told Rebbe, some say is Rav, al tamid al mekach b'shashen l'chadam. One of the things is, don't stand over a mekach when you don't have the money to purchase it. Now, what is the reason for it? Let's concentrate on the mekach case. So on the second side of the handout, I have a few words of the Rishonim. First one, in the Chomer of the Yisr, the Gemara says that this is even worse than stealing, than over, Onos, Dvarim is worse than Onos Mammon, because here it says, V'yarasem elokecha, you have to fear, it's a lack of fearing Hashem, and also you're hurting his body, not only his money, you can't give it back. The Sefer Chinuch says it even applies to children. You can't say anything to humiliate a child. unless, you know, it's for Tzarech HaMusar, he says. He says you have to be careful with that. By the way, I just also, it's an interesting case. I saw the Pesach Choshen bring down, the Nesiv Yosha brings down from the Chikrei Lev. It's a big set. The yeshiva didn't have that volume. I couldn't look it up inside. They just reprinted it. It's like a 10-volume set. So Chikrei Lev has a Shaila. What happens if you make a Misha Beirach? Sometimes you have these people like make Misha Beirachs and they go around the shul, right, naming everyone's name, and you leave out Reuven, right? So he says that that's Anos Devarim, right? Because, and from this, the poskim say, you see, Anos Devarim don't have to say anything. You left out his name. You didn't say his name. That's also Anos Devarim. Right? Why? Assuming the way we're understanding is because you are making Reuven feel bad. How does Reuven feel now? Right? You send invitations to the whole class and you leave out one person. Right? What you're doing is you are humiliating that person. You're making that person feel bad. You didn't say anything to him, but by your actions you showed what you think of that Reuven. The Nesi Yosher says from this, if you go into the store and you ask the seller a price for something, he doesn't answer you, that's also an Os Devarim. Now I'm not sure if that's a good application of this Chikrei Lev. Because there, it could be that he's busier, and that's not, a comparable case would be there's five people in the store, and they're each asking, and he answers all of them, and he doesn't answer you. So then I think that would be a... okay. You know, he says it applies just if you ignore the person, but he says that's an awesome arm, because you're answering everyone, and not this person, that shows. Whereas I think he just comes in himself, and you ignore him, so then maybe that's not an awesome arm. You know, you're busy, you don't have to answer everyone that comes to the store, maybe. But to the correct comparison, the analogy to the Misha Beirach case is you have five people in the store and you answer each one in a row and then you don't answer that person and he has the same question everyone else has and you don't answer him, so because you don't want to sell to him, whatever reason. So that could be an Os Devarim also, right? As it doesn't have to be you're saying something, things that you do to make the person feel bad, that's an Os Devarim. Let's see some of the cases and then we'll see afterwards if we have some clarity on it. So let's go to this case of Bekama Chepitza, right? How much does this thing cost? What's wrong with that? So the Rashbam says what we're used to hearing. I think this is the way we always remember this halacha. He says the reason you can't do that, and he's talking about this chumra that Yosef Rav Yehuda told his Talmud when he's nifter. He says, because if you're occupying the merchant, so then someone else comes in to buy, he'll lose a sale and you weren't interested in buying it, so what right do you have to take his time away when there's another buyer, right? The Miri says in Bav Metzia, in Arsugya, he says even if there's no one else there, that you're not taking away his time for making another sale, you're bothering him and you're paining him. Shachashav limkar, he thought he had someone to sell it to, v'lamachar, and he lost the sale. Right, that's I think what we've been saying. That's what Josh said in the beginning. I think that's this part to me that makes sense, and it makes it like the other types of Anos Devarim. You are making him feel like you're putting his hopes up, and then dashing. You're putting him up for no reason, and then you're dashing them. The Sefer Chinuch says, "Lo nomer li Yisrael Devarim sheyachivu v'yitzaru." Don't say things to someone that pain him and give him an ache. Ve'ein bal kolach li'asim, he has no protection from him. The Sefer Chassidim and the Rishon also points out that, like we said, that the seller also can't show her, you want to buy this, and I'm sorry, it's not for sale. You get the person's hopes up that he's going to buy it. He's thinking about what that will look like in his house, and then he says, it's not for sale, it's not for you. There also, you're making someone think something that's not true. Someone told me today it could be like, okay, with a shidduch. But you're not interested in meeting that person. But, because you want to make your parents feel good, or you have some reason to, you know, some outside reason, so you do it. So it's good, you had your reason to meet her, but she thinks you're serious, and she has her hopes up, and you really had nothing in mind to start with, to go out with her again. You were just trying for some ulterior motive, because you wanted to meet her friend, or you wanted to, you know, make someone else happy. So that might also be the same idea here. You are setting someone up for a disappointment. You're making them think they have something here, when they really don't. Right, I'll tell you more than that. I'll tell you more than that. That all the poskim say, including Mishpatei Atar, who was Machmir, and they all say suppose you want to buy a car, you want to buy a house, but you go to the, and it's common, you go to the this house, and then you have five houses you're going to see that day, and you're taking your time with each one, and you want to buy one, but each one you're taking time with, and they think they have the sale, and then it ends up that you buy the other one. So are you ever enough to buy there? They say, of course not, because that's, people have to realize that you're not the only house on the market. It's a subjective thing, and even if it's the same exact thing, they're different prices, you might be pricing it as a safer. You go to all the farm stores in the city and find out what the price is, and then you get from the cheapest person. So they say that's not a nas devarim there, because the...
You're a serious buyer in the market.
Right. But what Avigdor is asking is, that, but why does that make a difference to the person? I mean, he still feels just as bad. Does he know the difference that you were really interested and you bought it from somewhere else, or you were never interested to start with?
That's the case of holding the fingers behind the kid.
That's different.
Is it onas devarim whether the kid knows or not?
That's a little bit like that. Yeah, okay, that's the shiloh. Right? But I'm saying here it's a halach l'maisa. It's a halach l'maisa that is saying that you're allowed to go comparison shop without telling, you know, of course if you tell them there's no iser. I mean, if you tell them that, look, I'm taking prices, which l'maisa is the best way to avoid problems too. Like, you know, we have different things to want around the house. So you tell the, no, you tell them, look, I'm getting estimates for this work on the house. Look, would you come and give me an estimate? And that's a normal thing to say. If you would make it seem, look, I need this work on the house, and make him think that that's the, you're the one person, so then there might be an onas devarim. Okay, but let's just look in this halacha. Why is there a difference here? And I'll make it a little even stronger. The Chafetz Chaim notices that, remember we read the Gemara, the Mishnah, and then we read the Braisa. The Mishnah said, how much does it cost? So you don't want to buy it, that's an onas devarim. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you don't have money, don't, right? Rabbi Yehuda said, "Aflo yida engav amekan peshashin ladamu." You don't have money, don't look at the thing. So, the pashas you say it's the same thing, right? What's the reason when you don't have money? Because that means you're not really interested in buying it. Because if you don't have the money, you're not going to buy it. So don't waste his time. Don't make his hopes go up. You're not intending to buy it anyway. But the Chafetz Chaim said that might not be pshat. Pshat when you don't have money means, I really do want to buy that one day, and I want to know how much money I need to save up for it. How much does it cost? Right now I don't have the money. Like, I went to the store, I asked him, how much does the chikri leiv cost? I see it's a 10 cent. I knew I wasn't going to afford it, but at least now I know what it costs, so if I have to get that money one day, I might buy it, right? And the Chafetz Chaim says, since the Shulchan Aruch Paskin says a lashon of the Tanna Kamma, the Mishnah, he seems to be saying it's only an issue when you have no intention at all of purchasing it. But if you really would purchase it, and it's just that you don't have the money right now, the Chafetz Chaim says, he seems to conclude that it's mutter, except for the Midas Chasidus from the Gemara in Psachim, which says, don't yamar ala mekach when you don't have the money. It seems that that's the Midas Chasidus. That's the way he fits it all together. That Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda told his Talmud, Midas Chasidus, don't look over a mekach when you don't have the money, meaning mekach, then it's mutter, because you one day you'll buy it. Right now you don't have the money. But it's not a nice thing to do. Spend his time when right now you don't have the money without telling him at least. So now the question is even stronger. We see the Chafetz Chaim is paskening that you have two people here who are not interested in buying this house. One is because he doesn't have the money right now for it, and the other is because he just wants to know how much to sell his house for. And in the second case, we're saying it's onas devarim. In the first case, it's not. What's the buyer? Right, what's the seller? I mean, what's the seller feeling any different when both of them come in and spend my hour, and then I never hear from them again?
The two cases are,
one case is, I ask you how much this thing when I have no intention at all of buying it. I just want to find out how much it costs. And he gives a case, Imre Yaakov has a case that an Israeli goes to gets a present from Chutz Laaretz, and he buys it in Chutz Laaretz, and he wants to sell it in Eretz Yisrael. How much should he sell it for? He goes to the store and asks, how much do you sell this tape recorder for? So, oh no, how much to sell it here? Right, that's onas devarim. I have no intention of buying, I'm just using you to find out the price so I can sell it myself. But if I come into the store without any money on me at all, so I'm certainly not interested in buying now, but I go in to ask how much it costs. Maybe I'll have the money one day. So then, The Chofetz Chaim says it seems to be that it's mutter. What's the seller thinking in both those cases? To the seller, it looks identical. And also identical to the third case, where I'm coming in, I'm comparison shopping, and I'm asking, and I don't end up buying from you because you're more expensive than the guy next door. Why is there a nos devarim in the first case and not in those other two cases? Yeah, I think that's what you have to say. You have to say, so I was speaking to someone in yeshiva also, one of the Rosh Hashivas there, and they thought this might be the pshat also. I don't want to name it because he was just thinking, we were thinking together. He wasn't saying, having worked it through. So, the issur is being mitzar someone for no purpose. Don't dash his hopes when he has no hope of, no chance of getting the sale. Even though he doesn't know the difference. But you didn't do anything wrong then, because that's the way life is. There's ups and downs. Not everyone, you know, you own a store, not everyone that walks in is going to be your best customer. You know that you're going to have some customers and not. Did this guy fool me? If he fools me, I feel bad. That's onas devarim. You know, each time I lose a sale, every time I see someone walking next door, it makes me feel a little bit bad. You know, why didn't they stop by me? It makes me feel bad. But you're not over any issue because I don't have any. I'm not your eved that I have to come into your store. I can go wherever I want. I can come to you and if I come into you and ask you your price because I'm comparison shopping or because I want to save up for it, that's okay. That's not an issue of onas devarim because, even though it might cause you that tsar, you might end up getting a deal from this. I'm not intending to be mitzar you for nothing. I'm not using you. I'm not really using you. The other case is, you might think I'm using you, but I wasn't. Because I was really comparison shopping, I was really saving up, and a year from now you might hear from me again because you were so nice to me then. And what?
I mean,
there's a
Toelis. Right, there's a Toelis, and I'm alive.
But it's only if it's a toilet for him. Right, that's the difference. Tzar Balei Chaim, the animal doesn't get any. No, but I say, don't think that whenever I have a toilet, because I have a toilet, I need to know how much to sell my house for. But that's not a toilet for you. I have no right to pay you for my toilets, but I have a right to pay you when it might be for your toilets. Right? I think that's what you have to say, because otherwise, because you have this in the halacha, what else can you say? Huh? But it has to be that, and this is what it says, v'yirezim melokecha. Right, that's what the Gemara says. Hashem knows whether you're really honestly interested or not. Right, it's very tricky. Because to the buyer, to the seller, he doesn't know the difference between the two. And like Rashi says, v'yirezim melokecha, because you could really say, oh, I really was planning on buying it, and but you weren't. If deep down you weren't, you know, yeah, maybe if it's, he sells it for 10 cents, then I'll buy it. You know, that's not, you know, it's a car. You know, and you're not in the market for a car now, so you can't go and say, you know, if he gives it to me, if he pays me to take it, I'll buy it. Right? That's not real. There has to be a real possibility that you will buy it. You're in the market to buy your car, or you will be soon. So then it'll be mutter to spend his time. Now we had the second issue, though. How about if he doesn't realize it? How about if he doesn't realize that you're very good at it, and you do it in such a way where he'll never know that you took advantage of him. Now, like the case with the house, when he sees your sign go up, you know, a week later, he'll know what you were doing in his house. That's certainly Ganeva's Das over there. Sometimes they have, help wanted sign out. They have people coming in to interview for the job, and you find out that they gave the job to the president's son. Right? So they know that was just really to help the board, to make the board happy, and you were being used over there, right? So that would be Ganeva's Das because you found out. So that's a good point. Right. But it won't be. Right. But it's not an Os Devarim, maybe. Right. So what is it? Let's first find out whether it's an Os Devarim or not. But even if it's not an Os Devarim, what the halacha is, the Gemara says, if someone wants to eat chazer and he's ready to eat it and he eats it and then it ends up that it was really kosher, it's, we learn v'nislacho, he needs a kapar, he needs a tshuva for that. We learn out from someone that if a woman had made a nether and her husband was made for it, and then she ends up violating the neder. The pasuk says, "Hashem yislach lo." Hashem will forgive her. She needs some slicha for wanting to do an aveira, even though she ended up not doing an aveira. There is such an iser, so it won't make it a real heter to go and do it in a way that he won't know about it. But if he doesn't have tsar, if he doesn't have tsar, so then maybe you didn't do anything wrong.
Like lashon hara, whether the person hears that he said it or not.
Yeah, but over here, some saying, but over here, that's one way of saying. But the other
thing, it's a subject d'oraisa, you can't take a chance.
Right, so that's another thing. You know, it might be that we'll say it's much if you don't give him tzar, but you know, who's going to be take that risk? But suppose there's a way where you have such an alibi, such a way out that he'll never know that you weren't interested. Is there a heter? So. This, I was showing you the sefer. Someone made like a Mishnah Berurah on the Shulchan Aruch Harav. This is Parshas Lilei Nishmas, Hena Rachel Vasmiyam Nachayim, last year. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav says a lashon like this. This is what he reports the halacha. Chelo yomer lechaveiro bekama timka chayfizet. Don't tell your friend. Ask your friend how much will you sell this object for? Vehu einu chavis lebenoso when he does not want to buy it. Oh she'ein lo damim, or he doesn't have the money. Because his intention is to trick his friend. And afterwards, when he does not purchase it, his friend recognizes so that he was taken advantage of, and he feels bad. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch Harav seems to put both conditions in to be over the answer. First is, you shouldn't have kavana to be mad to him, you're not intending to trick him, and second of all is that he ends up finding out afterwards and feeling bad about it. So this Pirish, he's a contemporary one, he writes that based on the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it seems that if you would, this case that he talks about, that you just bought something in the Chutz Laaretz and you want to find out what the price is and Eretz Yisrael to sell it, if you just go in and you don't, and he says that the lesson is, don't be mamid al mechach, don't get a whole discussion with him, get him involved with it, because then he'll feel bad. But if you just walk in and say, how much does this cost? So then you're not making him feel bad. Right? That's not exactly the shayla we're talking about, but he was medayik that the issur only applies when you make him feel bad, but if you don't make him feel bad, there's no issur. And I would say, certainly, if you go to a big store, and you know there's people in the aisles, you ask help for them, and the owner's not even nowhere to be seen, and the workers don't really care if you buy it or not, they're just there to help the people, try on the shoes, whatever it is, and you go in and you just want to see what the price is, and if you're not preventing sales to the owner, it could be that there would be no nostavim there also, because you're not making anyone feel bad. Right? The issur is not using up the person's time. It's only, it could be a problem if they lose a sale, but the issur isn't making someone feel bad. So if you don't make them feel bad, you're not humiliating them, you're not taking advantage of them, so then the issur might not apply. And extending that one step further, it could be that would not apply, that if you are so good, you're a subterfuge, that you will, that he'll never know that you were taking advantage of him, so you didn't give him tzar. Right? If you are such a good actor, and you walk in there, and you really want to know the price to sell yours, and you look at it, and you don't take sales from him, he's the only one there, there's no one else there, and there's nobody who's going to feel bad, so I don't know. Now, like Shraga is saying, is that, you know, if he does feel bad, or Renisa d'Oraisa, and some say it's even Chai Malkus d'Oraisa, so it might not be worth taking a chance, but just to know the Gedarim is that if it's something that for sure he won't feel bad, like his case, he's makel on it.
I'm just curious.
Right, so that's for sure, because you're telling him, I'm just asking you out of curiosity. Right? It certainly pays to play it safe, right? And most people will be nice, you know, I look up, except the person down the street who's selling his house, that you can't tell him, look, I'm also going to sell my house and I want to undercut you if I see what you're selling it for. That won't work. But in most cases, like if you go to a big store and look, I got this thing, I want to sell it, can you help me? And you do that. We've done that. I think of cases where I want to know the price of something. I have a safer, a double of a safe. I want to sell it. So I call up to this farm, look, I have an extra safe. I want to sell it. What's the price on it? And the farm stores do that all the time, right? They call up the other store, see what the price is, and he thinks it's a customer. You know, that's, people do that. And they tell him ahead of time, look, I just want to know what the price is. That it's always pays to be, play it safe. He has another shayla, Pesachei Choshen, at the bottom of the handout. Suppose I want to sell my house to my neighbor, or a piece of property to the neighboring property, and
I don't know how much the market price is for it. And he said, okay, let's get an appraiser. But I say, look, you know, if I put it on sale, it could be someone come in, give me a big price. And he says, I'll match any price that you get, any offer that you get. Are you allowed to put your property for sale just to price it so the other person can buy it? Right? I'm putting it and say, I'm really going to sell to the next door neighbor, the property owner next door.
I just want to know how to price it.
So, and he'll match anything. And all the people who are coming, they think that they might even buy this. I think it's like the case of looking for a job, and they're all coming in.
He has
a suffix. You think it's Pashit or Nas Devarim?
What?
You think it's Pashit?
Something.
Well, it's not going to be because they're not buying anything. You're not forcing them. They're not going to buy anything.
But they're using,
right?
they're using them to...
You're using them.
Victims of
and they think that they have a chance to buy it, and they end up getting their hopes dashed. So his suffix is, if someone came and offered $1 million for it,
he would sell it,
and then the person over there might not match it, right? So that's a suffix. But you know, there's to raise another issue, that's a possibility that there could be a problem with such a thing. So we have so far, in fact, we can say what we have in conclusion. But before we conclude, I'll give you one case where I think we can see clearly the difference between Anas Devarim and Ganevas Das. The post can talk about it in both sets of halachas, but that is a difference. In Ganevas Das, the Gemara says you can't invite someone to your house when you know he's not going to come. That's Ganevas Das. You know he's not going to come, you're inviting him. But they also say that's Anas Devarim. You can't invite someone to your house when you know he's not going to come. That's Anas Devarim. So which is it? Is it Anas Devarim or is it Ganevas Das? So I think it depends on the case. There are two reasons why people will not accept your invitation. One is because they're going to be out of town for that Shabbos. And the other is because they can never go anywhere because their kids are so wild they're embarrassed to go anywhere. Right? So if you invite person number one, you know he's going to be out of town. Come over for me for Shabbos. What are you doing? You're fooling him into thinking that he has a real invitation and he'll be makir tov. You never really wanted him anyway, but you felt like you want to ask him for a favor the next week. They say, oh, such a, he invited me, and you knew he wasn't going to come because he was. So that's Ganevas Das, because you're stealing his heart. You're getting a favor from him or hakar satov from him when it's not deserved. The second case, when I invite you, I ask you to come to my house, and I know you're not going to come. I'm cutting you. I'm digging a knife in and saying, oh, you can't control your children. I'm blaming you, but you have such a problem. You have such problems that you can't go out of the house. And I know that you can't come, and I'm asking you to come anyway. So that's an Anas Devarim. The first case, I'm fooling someone. I'm fooling them in order to get something from them. The second case, that's Ganevas Das. The second case is I'm making fun of someone. I'm humiliating, so I'm making someone feel bad. I'm not fooling them, I'm making them feel bad. That's Anas Devarim. So with halachas that we saw tonight, it seems like Anas Devarim has to have some intent, because we said that if you're comparison shopping, it's mutter. If you don't have the money and you might buy it one day later, it seems, according to at least some poskim, that it's mutter. The Chafetz Chaim seems to conclude that that's mutter, even though it's the same act of not buying. So it seems that intent does make a difference. And on the other hand, it seems that the issur certainly does not apply when your action does not cause any tzar. The shaila is, if it should cause tzar and you just were so smart to do it in a way that it doesn't cause tzar, will that also still be mutter? That I'm not sure about. I didn't see a clear indication one way. But as Rosh Raga said, either way, you don't want to take a chance in an issur d'oraisa, because how smart are you that you're sure that you're not going to fool, that he won't feel bad about it? It might still be an issue. So next week there's no shiur. The week after that there will be a mitzvah, and we'll start on the halachas of mekach tos, those where you sell something with faulty merchandise. All those halachas, we haven't touched those yet, and that'll be the next set of shiur.